The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
The Underdog Sports Podcast Network presents Hang Time, a pro basketball podcast.
Welcome to the Hang Time Podcast. I'm Will Posnan, and I'm joined by my co-host, New York Liberty Center, Kia Stokes.
Hey.
And there's some exciting stuff happening in basketball, and then some weird stuff happening in music, and I wanted to talk about both. But let's start with basketball, because I just think it's so interesting. So I didn't even know this was going to happen yesterday when I made note of this as a potential topic, but yesterday, you remember that Jazz fan that got bumped into by Russell Westbrook and then he yelled a bunch of racist shit at him and got banned from Jazz games for forever?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, wait. Kyle Lowry bumped into a fan. Russell Westbrook, he was just on the bench and the fan was yelling racist stuff against him.
Something like that, cool. Yeah.
And that guy got banned for life. So that guy's suing Russell Westbrook for $100 million.
What?
Yeah, because I guess that guy's like a billionaire, and this constitutes $100 million of damages to his reputation. Whatever. People are laughing him out of the room. He's not going to get money from Russell Westbrook. But so here's the question. So that coincided with the Raptors fans applauding Kawhi and yelling MVP for him and being very gracious with that. And then with Embiid now being mentored by Shaq, my question is the NBA growing up?
Damn. I did not think that was a question he was going to ask.
Well, it's just like, it seems like the NBA is going with more mature approaches. Every single situation they've got themselves in, minus China, they've handled with maturity. And I've been like, oh, that's very smart. And then with China, it's like calculated capitalism. So,
right. I mean, I guess if you put it like that, you would think that they're growing up. I just feel like the NBA at the end of the day is a business, so they're trying to just like keep looking good, like so they can keep making money, keep fans interested, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I mean, they could be doing this like as a league in general, just growing up, but I just feel like at the end of the day it's a business, and so they're gonna do what they have to do to make sure that they still look good, that they keep players happy, that they keep fans happy and want to go to the games. But that's just how I feel.
No, I think
I could be wrong, but that's just what I think.
I think you're right. I think that actually your take on it is a lot more interesting and nuanced than what I was thinking. Because I think that in regards to this Utah fan, I think that that is directly in line with they're a business. They know that most NBA fans and all NBA players are going to side with Russell Westbrook over this crazy Utah fan. Regardless right. of how many billions of dollars. I love billionaires who think that them having a lot of money gives them more sympathy.
It does not.
No. If you have...
I mean, we're used to being in a world where money can get you, like, anything.
Yeah.
So, of course, like, he's going to think, like, oh, I can do what I want. I got enough money. I can, you know, keep doing this. I won't get banned for life. And
yeah, no, he really... He's dead. Like a guy... Who he basically was like, do you know who my dad is? But it's his money instead of his dad. And nobody cared, right. And he didn't know what to do.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't care either.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm siding with Russell Westbrook too. But then with the Kawhi stuff, I was surprised because there's never been a situation like this where a guy left a championship team because he went, like, NBA stars are in the city that they're in because they were drafted there and they want to be in the same place. Like, Giannis doesn't – I don't know if he loves Milwaukee or not, but it seems like he loves the idea of playing with one team consistently, you know?
Yeah, I think so too.
But then Kawhi literally was like, I don't love living in Toronto. Like, him leaving was bigger than basketball. It was like a shot at the weather of that city.
But I feel like he was always pretty honest. Like,
well, that's the thing. Yeah.
And he didn't, like, make a big deal out of stuff. And then he won them a championship. Like, how are we going to be that mad? It's the same thing with LeBron winning the championship for Cleveland, and then he dipped. Like, well, you know, that's just what it was. It's not like he came and then was talking all this shit and then played bad for them and then dipped. Like, he played hard for them. He won them a championship. Like, I don't know. They can't be mad. Well, you got more games than Melo. Like, damn.
That's true. Well, I think Kawhi has already solidified his legacy more. I really think Melo, nobody in my lifetime has mismanaged, like, the legacy to talent ratio more than him. Like, people forget. I thought at least Melo would be remembered on, like, that Dominique Wilkins level of all-time great that never had a real playoff moment.
Yeah.
But it seems like people, I don't know, like, people are treating him like he was at that Lou Williams level, and it's like, Melo's a Hall of Famer. No disrespect to Lou Williams, who's great, but, like, Melo was one of the five best guys in the NBA for, like, 3 years in a row.
People just forget because, like, he played so well with Denver, and then he went to the Knicks, and it's just tough to be in New York. Like, mm-hmm. It's just tough. And I think people just kind of see him as, you know, the guy who just wanted to make all this money and didn't really care. And then he was out the league, and then he, you know, went on, what, 3 teams in 3 years and didn't even play or whatever, and then sat out last year. But now he's getting buckets, so maybe he's back to come up.
Well, that's the thing. He's playing very well given what could be expected, but he's just in the wrong situation. I mean, if you put Melo on a team that has less scoring, like Boston, or if you put him on a team where his veteran leadership would be more necessary, like Minnesota, it's just so much more interesting than him being the leader of that Portland bench unit that is vying for an 8th seed, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, I still think he's playing well. Like, being out of a year, I think he's kind of saying, like, nah, I still can ball. Like,
oh, he's great. Like, he, it's just the thing of, like, the big thing with Melo as a Melo fan is he never had that. The closest thing he ever had to a great playoff series that is memorable, stand the test of time, is, like, that Nuggets-Lakers series. And then you kind of want to say that Knicks-Pacers series, but it wasn't even that interesting. It was really just that Nuggets-Lakers series.
And yeah.
If you put Melo on, for example, like Philly could have used his scoring. If you put him on Philly, that's a lot more interesting to me than him being on the Blazers, just because the Blazers are probably not going to catch a matchup, unless the Blazers catch the Clippers in the first round and take it 7. Like, is there a scenario for Melo to be really interesting in the playoffs?
I'm not really seeing it right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you never know. But also, didn't you say you thought the Sixers were going to win everything? So why did they need Melo?
That's so true. Well,
yeah. So stick with your original theory that the Sixers are going to win and come out the East on top, because okay. I think that's shit.
Well, we can
so Melo can't go to them.
Well, let's – okay, so going back to the Sixers, which was, like, the original point. So I agree with you about the Jazz fan, that being a byproduct of the NBA wanting to look good as a business. But I think with the Kawhi thing – so the difference to me with the Kawhi thing and the LeBron thing was that LeBron chose to return to Cleveland. Kawhi was sent to Toronto. So it's kind of like the difference of LeBron, it's like – they dated LeBron. LeBron was their soulmate. LeBron dumped them for someone else. And then LeBron was like, okay, I'll give this thing another chance because you guys want it so bad. I don't want it so bad, but you guys want it so bad. But Kawhi, it was straight up like, okay, you need a rebound. I need a rebound. Let's date for 6 months, but we know that this isn't going to be serious. And we both know I'm going to leave at the end of 6 months or whatever.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Okay, first of all, I feel like the Kawhi analogy was good, but LeBron, I mean, he knew he didn't want to spend the rest of his career in Cleveland. Like, they weren't soulmates, and he wanted, you know.
Hey, so I thought I lost everything, but I was able to recover all of it up to, like, 10 seconds before the call got dropped.
Oh, so that's cool. That's good.
Okay, we can just go right back into we were talking about so we're talking about Melo, and then – yeah, you were talking about the difference between LeBron and Kawhi.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying that, I mean, I don't think – I feel like everybody knew that LeBron was going to leave Cleveland. Like, as soon as they won, I think everybody knew it was a wrap. It was too good to be true, kind of.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all I was saying. Like, I didn't think that there was any chance that he would stay, even though I wanted him to. I just didn't think that was ever going to happen.
Well, LeBron is like I don't think LeBron ever looked at Cleveland and was like, that's my soulmate. But I think Cleveland was like, oh, LeBron. Like, they were hoping – And I
yeah, for sure.
I kind of think Milwaukee's in the exact same situation with Giannis, where they're like, be our Duncan, be our Elijah one. We'll remember you for forever. And Giannis is like, I'm kind of like Michael Jordan. I think, like, dude, Giannis yesterday, when he didn't want to lose to the Mavs and the rest of the team was like, I'm tired, and he got 48. Yeah, Giannis is going to hit – I think Giannis is going to be – the second best player, or maybe the best of the last 30 years. I think Giannis is going to be that good.
You think he's going to pass LeBron?
Okay, so I think it's tricky because I think the NBA low-key gets more and more talented every 10 years. Like, it's always more talented than it was. Like, mm-hmm. I think that Giannis could be better than LeBron or Jordan and only end up with four rings and not get, you know, the stats that LeBron was able to get, especially if his career is not as long as LeBron's. But mm-hmm. I think Giannis will get a bunch of rings, three or four. I don't think he'll ever repeat, and I think that his stats will be on par with LeBron, which will put him at, you know, at the very top statistically in NBA history with, like, LeBron, Kareem, and Karl Malone.
That is a – I wouldn't say it's, like, super out there, but that's a lot. I mean,
3 years ago I wrote on Facebook that I thought – this was back when I used Facebook – that I thought that Giannis at the end of his career was going to have a better body of work than Kobe. And I when I wrote that, everybody was like, oh, you're an idiot. And I felt kind of like, oh, this might come back and look really stupid. But as of right now, it might look smart.
It might actually look smart. So it don't sound as crazy as you – probably did 3 years ago, but still, that's just, for him to be, I mean, I do agree, like, I think the talent keeps getting better and better, but, I don't know, that's hard to say.
I think if you put Shaq in the Will Chamberlain era, which is, like, the golden era for centers, I think he would be better than every single center from that era, you know, from, like, Moses Malone to Kareem. Like, I just think Shaq, like, Lakers Shaq that beat Allen Iverson in the finals was that good, was like, but I would never say that Shaq had a better career than any of those. I mean, I would say he had a better career than Wilt, but certainly not than Kareem or Bill Russell, you know?
Right, yeah.
So that's what I – so like Giannis, I could see him being the best, most complete NBA player of all time without being the greatest NBA player of all time.
Okay, I see where you're going with that. I kind of believe it a little bit.
And here's how I'm going to circle back. So Giannis, I think, has been the poster child for this new era of NBA stars being mentored by retired NBA stars. Like, this is the first time this has really ever happened. Like, we pretended for a while that Magic Johnson was mentoring Kobe and Larry Bird was mentoring Paul Pierce just because it was fun. But this is the first time that what happened with Embiid, I think that's where I go. The NBA is really maturing because I've never seen anything quite like that. Did you throw yourself into that story? It was kind of a fun one.
No, not really. I've been kind of busy out here. I always go on Twitter for 20 minutes and then go to work.
Well, I'll refresh you because I have less important stuff than you. But
I mean, so, you have a whole child, so I think that's kind of important. But anyways.
That's a good point. You're full of good points. So Shaq and Charles Barkley, like Embiid had a okay game, 23.9 rebound game against the Nuggets. And Shaq and Charles Barkley went on TV and said, Joel Embiid is not a great player. He's a good player who has moments of greatness. And then they used Giannis as an example of somebody who was a great player. And I think they used Harden as well. And they're like, great players bring this level of you know, this level of commitment every single night, and you're not somebody like LeBron or Kawhi who has rings to fall back on. Mm-hmm. Embiid, you need to be dominating every night. And Embiid was like, oh, they're right. And then went out and dominated the Celtics. And now it's kind of moving to a place where, like, Charles Barkley is taking some ownership over Embiid's future. Like, I want to see this guy become a great player, and I could have been better when I was in Philadelphia. And now it's – okay. So it reminds me of what J. Cole did in music with Middle Child, where he was basically bridging the gap from old rappers like Jay-Z that are like, these young guys don't work hard enough, and then young rappers like Kodak Black that are like, these old rappers need to stop telling us what to do. And J. Cole was like bridging that gap. And it seems like Charles Barkley is going to be the J. Cole of the NBA.
That is kind of crazy, actually. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that he would be the one to do that. Like, I really would not have thought that. That's you would,
because Charles Barkley was always like, he was always like the guy who was yelling interesting stuff, but yelling sometimes when he should have been listening.
And yeah.
It seems like he listened. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's actually dope. And surprising, but really dope.
Because,
yeah.
Like Barkley and Durant, they kind of hated each other because Barkley would try to give measured criticisms to Durant, but then Durant would respond in a measured way, and then it would devolve into Barkley being like, these young guys don't want to listen, and Durant being like, these old guys don't get it. But it's cool. That's what I mean. I think that all these guys are growing up, and we're getting to benefit from it.
I mean, yeah, that sounds right. I mean, it sounds good. I just – you think he's, like, genuine? You think he, like, really wants to help, or you think he's just trying to look good?
Okay, so with going back to how Adam Silver's dealing with his Jazz fan, I agree with you that Adam Silver just wants to look good. I do think that Russell Westbrook deserves some credit, because if that had happened in the Iverson era, multiple players would have been in the stands beating up that billionaire and taking whatever hundreds of dollars were in his wallet afterwards.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, look, if you're going to beat up a billionaire, you might as well take the $14,000 he has in his wallet for no reason.
Oh, my God. If he really walked around $14,000 in his wallet,
he probably doesn't. You know these billionaires, they just have a credit card and that's it.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Yeah. I can't imagine. Just $14,000 cash. I mean, doesn't Floyd walk around with $1 million in a duffel bag?
Yeah, well, that's why Floyd has four other people walking around with him to help him keep that $1 million in his wallet.
Facts. I saw him at the ESPYs in, maybe like four years ago.
Yeah.
But when we was walking on, when he was on the red carpet, you don't even see him. You just saw all his bodyguards. Like, who that? Like, who in there? Who is that? And he looked through it like, oh, that's Floyd. Couldn't even see him over nobody. He's so little, and his bodyguards are so big. I was like, wow.
What do you think he thinks people see when they look at him? Because I know what we see when we see him surrounded by his bodyguards. We go, that is a terrible way to live life. I would pay $100 million not to have to – like, imagine having to walk around in a bubble of bouncer at all times.
I mean, wants it to be like that. Like, he likes the statement. He likes to be, like, known. Like, yeah, I'm here. He likes to flaunt his money. So, of course, if you're going to knowingly walk around with $1 million, you're going to let people know that, of course, like, it's a attention thing. And he obviously wants it. Because he could walk around with no money, and I don't think he would get bothered that much.
But if you don't walk around with a
duffel bag of cash, of course somebody's going to want to steal that. So, of course, you got to walk around with bodyguards. I think it's just an attention thing. Like, I got money, and I know it. You can try to take it, but see what's going to happen.
But let's say you're Floyd and you're at the ESPYs and you find out that Simone Biles is a fan of yours and you want to have a conversation with Simone Biles. Do you bring her into the bubble is she on one side of the bubble like the Berlin Wall and you're whispering through bodyguards? Like, that would be miserable.
I mean, yeah, but you probably get used to it after a while. Like, she probably comes in the bubble. I feel like she gotta go in the bubble.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so then Simone Biles goes in the bubble, but then you find out that Karl Anthony Towns, of course he's a fan of yours, because, you know, that's how he learned to throw hands, was from watching you. So now he wants to talk to you. Does he have to stay outside the bubble till Simone Biles leaves, or is he also allowed in? He's going to be over the top of the bubble. It's going to look weird. Like, that would be – there's just so much you have to think about, and it's not worth it.
I think the bubble is just when he's on the move, you know? Like, I'm sure when they get to the – wherever the seats are, you know, it's more laid back and there's more people can just be around. But I think on the move, you just got to be aware, you know, the bubble, people can come in at all sides, try to take your money. You got to keep them out. So you just face in one direction. You see everybody in front of you. And then I think you're good. You can have more than one person, you know, the same area.
I think he's missing out on a lot of good conversations.
I don't think he really cares. I think he just wants to make money and spend money.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I think that he is a little bit addicted to money, and it's like kind of a really unhealthy relationship he has with money.
I mean, probably. Did you see that? I don't know if it was a rumor or not, but I heard that he's going to come out of retirement next year.
Well, his new thing is fighting people who he doesn't really have to train hard to beat. Like, and it's smart. I like Floyd as a imperfect personality, and I think it's I think it's a really interesting thing, like the idea of imperfect athletes. Like, I mean, you see it with Antonio Brown similarly, where like his life is a mess, but because his life is a mess and he's famous, we're actually allowed to talk about real issues that affect people that otherwise get brushed under the rug. I think with Floyd, I think like, whether Floyd was famous or not famous, he would still be a terrible husband. So the fact that he's famous is good because it allows people a jumping off point for conversations about him being a terrible husband. Does that make sense?
A little bit. I think I'm following.
Yeah. And I don't think that Floyd is ever going to grow up the way that it seems like Chris Brown tries to. Grow up from mistakes that he's made, even though I think that similarly both of them don't have a good framework for what like growing up would look like in that sense. They both need mentors, and they should both hit up Charles Barkley. I feel like that's the thing about these guys though, and actually this is great because I wanted to transition to music. So in the NBA now you have this generation of stars that these young guys like Giannis and Embiid will listen to, and that didn't used to exist. And in music, there's a few of those guys. Like, it seems like everybody in the world respects and listens to Snoop Dogg, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But and J. Cole is also another guy it seems like everybody respects and listens to. But some of these younger rappers, they just need somebody somebody like J. Cole who's going to give them advice, but non-judgmentally, because I don't know. Did you see, like, this Juice WRLD situation? Did that get to you in Turkey?
Yeah. I mean, I woke up and saw that he had died, and I thought that was really sad. I mean, I don't really like his music that much, but he got a couple good songs that I like. Yeah. But then I saw that all the drugs and stuff he had on his plane, and then I heard that he swallowed a bunch of pills to hide from the feds, and I was just like, whoa.
No, that's exactly what happened. And so.
But what did you think was going to happen, though? That's my thing. Like, rest in peace. Don't get me wrong, but no, sure. Like, what? Like, what are you thinking?
Well, the problem is that when your role models are, or when the voices, your mentor figures, when they're like too removed from you generationally, they start giving you advice that is easy to tune out. Like, for example, Juice WRLD had 70 pounds of marijuana on his plane. 70 pounds.
Like, what do you do with all that?
So he needed somebody in his life to say, hey, Juice WRLD, you only need about 5. I know you have a big crew. I'm not saying you get rid of all of it. You can keep 5. Similarly, Juice WRLD has had 3 unregistered firearms on his plane. He needed somebody in his life to say, hey, man, you can keep rapping about being a gangster and shooting people. Like, you can rap about it. It's fine. I'm not telling you to stop. Like, you can use bullets as a metaphor for your words and talk about who in the game you would shoot. That's fine. Kendrick talks about, you know, shooting people. We know he's not going to. That's fine. If you're not a real gangster, don't travel with guns. Just don't. Nobody's going to come and try Juice WRLD. His music is party music. Nobody's shooting at him. You're not gang affiliated. You don't need guns at all times, or at all, especially if you're not in that life, you know?
It's just tough. I mean, he's young. He was just turned 21, I think. Like, you're in that world. All your friends want to, you know, party and do that stuff. Of course you're going to.
But you can party. Well, that's the other thing. So you can party. And that's like what I liked about how Embiid was listening to Charles Barkley and Shaq, because they were giving him a concrete target of, hey, you know how you score 33 points once every 10 games? You should be doing it 6 out of every 10 games. Like, that's a good target for Embiid to strive for. Similarly with Juice WRLD, it's like, you can still go out till 4 a.m. twice a week. But those other 5 nights, you know, be in bed by 1 a.m. Are we crazy for asking you to be in bed by 1 a.m. most of the week? That's not crazy. So it's like the same thing.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I think there's so much in that world that we don't understand, because, like, he's 21, he's not in school, you got so many friends that you was cool with before that's going to want to be up with you, and now that you got money and you're so young, of course you think you can do whatever you want. So I think it's just, like, so much stuff that we don't understand, because, of course, like, yeah, make a good amount of money, but it ain't, like, what rappers are making. Like, it's not like that. So I think
it's just, well, it can't come from us
in that position, because what am I gonna do if I had, you know, if I get $10 million in my bank account tomorrow? Like, what am I gonna do? I'm probably gonna quit playing over here. I'm gonna go travel, do something stupid, and then what? So it's just like, we don't understand, because we're not like part of that lifestyle.
Sure. But
and if you're around it all the time, like if you go to a party, let's just say you go out one night and everybody's doing whatever they be doing, like, you're like, fuck it, let's try it. Like, that's gonna happen if you're young and you don't think, and you're just like there in the moment.
I agree with you, but that's why I think it has to be somebody like J. Cole, where there is a respect and there is the idea of you've been there before. And I think with all this stuff, there is best practices. I mean, I think it's okay for Embiid. I never faulted Ben Simmons for wanting to date a famous girl, but it's like, you can date a famous girl, or you can go out till 2 a.m., or you can, you know, have a vice, whether that vice be like there's been successful NBA players who had a vice, whether it be drinking or gambling or women or whatever. You just can't do all of it, and you gotta, if you're trying to be a great NBA player, if you're trying to have a 10-year career in music like J. Cole, like, you just have to, you just have to think before you make choices. And
I mean, I know that, like, a lot of rappers respect J. Cole, but I also feel like they would think he's not, like, about that life. Like, it's different. Like, you know, Jay-Z went from selling drugs and doing all that stuff to now he's Jay-Z. I feel like they would need somebody like Future, like someone who does
Offset.
All this bullshit.
Offset.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, someone Offset who does is... all this bullshit and then changes, like, that's who they would have to, like, listen to, because obviously J. Cole is respected, but, like, he's not like them, you know? Like,
yeah.
He made an album last time with a song, like, trying to teach them the ways and, like, tell them, like, what it is, but nobody's gonna take, like, no, I don't think they really took him that serious. Like, they just think, oh, he just, you know, saying that to say it. Like, I feel like you need to have someone who was, like, part of that lifestyle that actually did all that dumb stuff and then, like, learn from it.
Well,
like,
problem is, the guy they would all listen to is the greatest rapper of all time, Lil Wayne, who is making no effort to curtail his addictions. Lil Wayne.
Exactly.
No, it's true. I mean, oh, I wish Lil Wayne would be clean. I really do, because Lil Wayne is, I don't think he makes it to 50, and man, he's the kind of guy, like, Lil Wayne is like our generation's Willie Nelson, where if he's still around when he's 90, he'll still be famous when he's 90, you know?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And he's just got to stay alive, and he's not setting a good example in terms of trying to stay alive.
Definitely not, which is sad, but, you know.
It's really sad. And then the other guy is Kanye, who... Though Kanye is in perfect health, mentally, well, just in terms of, like, Kanye does not make an effort to connect with people fully. Like, he gives them, like, a piece of his ideology, and it's actually kind of dangerous in pieces. I don't know. My Kanye opinion's kind of weird. I think that Kanye is trying to do a good thing, but not succeeding in it because of forces external to him.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that, too. I just, man, I miss the old Kanye.
Yeah, well, it was a different time. Like, you could be edgy in 2005 just by telling the truth. Like, you could just go, okay. Like, to say George W. Bush is a racist, like, that was true, and he said it, and people responded. But in 2019, to be edgy, you got to tattoo your face and wave around guns that you don't even need. Like, that's the thing about Juice WRLD is, if it was Blueface or somebody who was in a gang, I would be like, I get it, but nobody's coming for Juice WRLD. He should have just embraced that he was a lovable rapper and, you know, separated himself from violence. Like, he has more in common with T-Pain than Lil Wayne.
Damn. I mean, yeah.
Not as a diss, but just like, you know, he doesn't know anybody as scary as like Slim Williams or Baby, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, maybe he did. Maybe we just don't know that about him. I don't know.
Maybe.
I feel like we would know, though.
Yeah. Well, he's not claiming those affiliations publicly.
Right. I don't know. It's sad. I just wish it didn't happen. That's just sad.
No, it's sad, and it's so needless because it's like he could live the same lifestyle that he wants. Like, the whole thing about he had to swallow those pills because if the cops found them, he was going to go to jail for – that's the one thing I think is interesting and also could be talked about more is the juxtaposition between him and Tekashi, where it's like – you have two guys who are not prepared to go to jail. So if you're not prepared to go to jail, stay away from the stuff that lands you in jail.
Like I said, they're young. They don't think all the way through. And they're guys. And guys just in general are less mature, especially at a younger age. No offense to all the guys out there, but they just don't be thinking.
But like when Meek Mill went to jail, at least people around him who knew him and who knew stuff about the case had a like podium or like a way through which they could defend him. But when you just have guns you're not going to use and more pills than you can use in a single sitting and 70 pounds of weed instead of a reasonable amount, it makes it hard for people to defend you. And if you have – he got reported by one of his security guards. You don't need security guards and guns. Ask Floyd. That's the one thing he's smart about. They've never caught Floyd with a gun. If you have four security guards, let them hold the guns.
Facts, actually. Let's get off Juice WRLD. This is sad. I don't like this topic. It's making me sad.
You're right. Well, the next one is another musician, another terrific artist who is misguided in a much more fun to talk about way. Let's talk about Lizzo.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed in her, and I love her, but I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, she went to a Lakers game. Was it Lakers? I don't know. Some game.
Lakers game.
With her ass out. Like, how old are we? Come on. How? And then everyone is saying, like, oh, if it was Beyonce or Meg Thee Stallion, you wouldn't have a problem with it. Yeah, we would. Like, we don't care if it was a little heavy. It's at a basketball game. Like, your court side. You have your whole butt out. Like, that's not okay. There's kids there. Well, and then they were showing online, like, they were showing pictures and videos of, like, Meg at her shows or Beyonce at a photo shoot. Like, yeah, that's at a show. That's at a photo shoot. It's not at the Laker game.
Mm-hmm.
Find me a picture of Beyonce at a Laker game with her ass out. Find me one picture.
They would call off the game. They would – the players would be like, there are things more important than basketball.
Right. Like, it's not about Lizzo and her weight. It's just the fact that it's, like – the time and place, like, that's
no,
the only
exactly.
reason. But no, I feel like people are just stupid and don't understand that.
Well, so this is exactly, I mean, it's very similar to the situation with J. Cole, where it's like, there are people telling Lizzo one thing, and those people are way out of touch. Like, there are people that are like, you should be singing, you should be up there like whoever, like Tina Turner, like in a dress. Like, what do you do? Like, you should be dressed for the Oscars, like, for everything. Like, there's that point of view. And then there's Lizzo's fans that are like, don't let people body shame you. Go to the game naked and sit on a chair and...
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, the answer for... Lizzo needs somebody that's just like, look, you can wear edgy clothing. Nobody's saying that a artist shouldn't wear edgy clothing. Lizzo made two mistakes. The first mistake was that outfit didn't look good. Like, if you're gonna push the envelope with an outfit, it's gotta aesthetically look good. Do you remember when Lil' Kim went to the Grammys with a whole boob out?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a good looking outfit, so like aesthetically at least it worked. So there's
that. But I'm just saying, it's the Grammys. People push the envelope all the time. Or like it's an award show. It's not an NBA game.
Well, that's the other big mistake that she made. So she did it. The time and place choice was so goofy because she wasn't even performing. She was sitting courtside.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying. Like she wasn't. Why?
So
like,
she showed the stadium her ass, and then she just sat back down in her seat and tried to watch the rest of the game. Like
nobody saw that. Like all 10,000-15,000 people there didn't just see her ass.
You gotta do that and leave if you're performing. If you're performing, that's the last thing you do is show your ass, and then the lights get killed, and then you're gone. You're out of the stadium. You know?
Yep.
You can't do it and stay. And then it's a basketball game too. Like. Yeah, you got to do that at your show as the final thing with a better outfit, and then people will love it. But if you do it at a basketball game that's where the lighting is unflattering, and then you're going to stay and drink a beer courtside, and it's a blowout, like it's just the worst environment possible. But I don't like the people that are saying she should never do it. I think that she should feel empowered to do it at her live show or at a event that would make sense for it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, just don't do it at an NBA game. Do it at your show. Do it at, like, somewhere that it's, like, acceptable. Like, you're not, like, an NBA game, no. Just no. Don't do it at any sporting event. Like, why?
Well, Lizzo has low self-esteem. She doesn't know why people love her. Because people love her because she makes really fun music that's easy to listen to. And also because she does interesting things like play the flute and say interesting quotes and that kind of stuff and choose some interesting outfits. I mean, I thought that like the wedding dress thing she did at the BET Awards and like she was twerking and playing the flute. I thought that was dope, but you can't just.
Just don't have your ass out like when it's not appropriate. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's hard.
I think sometimes when people are perceived as cool and they're not cool, they can't wait to out themselves as not cool. Like, I think that you can tell how – you can tell when somebody's cool because they'll get a win in a really public way and then they won't – I think this is one of Kanye's big problems is he'll get a win by doing something – like, even vouching for that single ladies album against Taylor Swift, like, in retrospect, people were going to give him accolades, and then he went and ruined it. Whereas, like, Iverson did – his cool thing was being, like, practice. Like, that was really cool. But then he didn't go out the next day and say another thing. He just let that one sit for 5 years. That's why he was so cool.
Yeah. Man, I use that. We talk about practice, like, every other day. I'm pretty sure. I'm like, man, talking about practice.
But if Iverson had said it a second time, it wouldn't have been cool ever again. Like, if Iverson had went out a week later and been like, are we still talking about practice? People would have been like, oh, my God, you're so corny, Allen Iverson. Instead, he's the coolest NBA player.
I still think they like it even if he said it a second time. Because, like, we still talking about practice.
How many times do you think he could say it? Before?
Like, three max. Like, two I think is fine, three is pushing it, but it can still, depending on the timing, I think it can still work.
Like, when Dwight Howard wore the Superman thing in the dunk contest, people thought it was cool. And then he started calling himself Superman in third person every post-game interview, and we were like, oh, this guy, I don't care if he's a top three player in the NBA, I will never even buy a jersey of him.
Yeah, like, not again, nah.
And now he's kind of cool. Because he's more self-aware.
Yeah, but now he's, like, playing, like, hard again. Like, he's doing well.
Yeah.
I feel like he needed, like, to get his ego in check or something because – when he was with the Lakers, the first time he pissed me off. And now I'm like, oh, all right, he back on the come up again. But he's just doing, like – he's doing so well in his role. I'm just glad that he understands his role now because now it's, like, he's helping the team. He's doing what he needs to do, and he's not, like – a, like trying to be the superstar, like be the man. Like he knows he don't have to do that, and that's not his job. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot for somebody to go from Superman to, you know, I wouldn't say he's a role player, but you know.
But this is never. I mean, what Dwight is doing, I can't remember somebody doing quite this. Dikembe Mutombo kind of did a similar thing, but he never had the star power or the aspirations of star power that Dwight Howard had.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. Well, let's talk about Christmas. What are you doing for Christmas?
Well, we have a game on Christmas, so that's super fun. We play in Ankara, which is like a 5-hour bus ride, which I swear if they make us ride on that bus, I'm going to flip out, but I'll go anyways because like I don't have a choice. But we play on Christmas, and then on the 26th, we're having a little Christmas dinner here, like a couple of my teammates, couple other people that play in Istanbul, maybe some friends are going to come from other cities, other Americans in Turkey if they got the day off, and I don't know, have some good food and play some games and try to be festive. My friends said they, because my apartment here is 3 bedrooms, it's like big for no reason, but like whatever. But they said that they want to come decorate my house, so I'm going to get a Christmas tree, I'm going to go get some decorations. My mom sent me a video the other day of like her house and her tree that's decorated. And when I tell you, I just feel like I actually missed home. Cause usually
oh, that's
like,
beautiful.
Yeah. Usually when I'm over here, like it's all these Americans. We always do something. So, you know, I don't miss it too much, but man, her tree looks like something out of a magazine. The way she house. I was like, wow, you have too much time on your hands to be doing this, but now it looks like amazing. So I was like, damn, now I feel like I got to decorate my house. But really, my friends are going to do it because I'm not very creative slash decorative or anything. So, but yeah.
That's awesome. Know. That's great. You got like the community Christmas, and then also your mom is doing like the all-American Christmas. So you'll get pictures of that through Instagram or whatever.
Pretty much. But it's funny because for Thanksgiving, we went to Bria's, Bria Harley. She plays for Gala, like the rival of Fenner, whatever. Yeah. So we went to her house for Thanksgiving, and then it was perfect because Bria and her other teammate, another American, they cooked all the food, and I kind of just showed up like with my smile, right? And I was like, food. So then I was like, I'll host Christmas at my house, but the thing is, you know, I don't cook, so if y'all want to just bring something or use my kitchen, go for it. So Bria and Vicky, this other one, they're going to cook most of the food, and I'm hyped.
And you're going to contribute your smile again.
Exactly. I'm going to give them my kitchen. I'm going to give you my kitchen.
You're a giver.
Yes. At your, like, whatever you need, it's at your disposal. I'll get whatever you need at the store. I'll get the groceries. You know, I'm just here to help so that y'all can cook the food and I'm going to just eat it. So, yeah.
Fantastic. What's your favorite, like, Christmas food?
I don't know, actually.
Okay.
I just like anything.
You're easy to cook for. You just
because I've never had like the same food for Christmas. Does that make sense? Like I think one time we have a roast. Sometimes we have ham. Sometimes we have turkey. And so I mean, I'm gonna make some lasagna this year because that's it's like who has lasagna for Christmas? But we're about to have it because that's all I know how to make. So I did bring my smile and lasagna.
Okay, that's exciting. What kind of lasagna? Vegetarian or meat?
Nah, with meat. I ain't doing all that vegetarian stuff. I mean, I am a vegetarian, kind of.
You're a vegetarian, but you're going to cook a meat lasagna, and the last 3 Thanksgivings you had a pot roast turkey in hand.
No, well, I mean, like, I haven't been home for Christmas since college, so whenever we're over here. But I just started this vegetarian thing since like, end of last season. But I'd be so fake with it, because if I really want some chicken, I'll go get some chicken. Like, I'm not, like, that faithful with it.
Yeah.
But I try.
No, that's good. I never used to eat meals that didn't have meat, and now sometimes I it's not a vegetarian, but I'm moving in that direction of not everything has to be with an animal in it, but
I mean, I try.
We're growing up with the NBA and not with hip hop, because they won't.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like this Christmas dinner, Vicky is going to make, she said she's going to make some fried chicken and salmon. So I was like, bet I'll have the salmon. I'll probably try a piece of the fried chicken because I haven't had it in so long. But I think I'm going to eat the salmon. I might have a little bit of lasagna. So it's not like, I'm going to just have a little bit, you know? I'm not going to like.
Well, that's
not everything, you know? I can't just not eat the food.
Well, that's first. First, you have a little bit. Then seconds, you have a little bit more. And then thirds are off the record. You can do whatever you want for thirds.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
All right. Well, thanks, Kia. And maybe we'll get to do another one of these before Christmas. But if I don't talk to you again, then Merry Christmas. And thanks to everyone listening. And we'll see you soon. You know, see you soon.
Yeah, you know. All right. Merry Christmas and thank you.